several segments with some money-making ideas. I'll review what the experts are saying and see if we can get a consensus on what's going on. So let's get started on the Mad Money Machine. Okay, the first segment is Money Thoughts, and usually this segment I'll talk about things that are in the news, things that are happening right now. What's happening this time is this is a new show, and so I'll answer some questions about what this show is about. First question is, why did you name it Mad Money Machine? Well, it's a play on two notions, really. First is, of course, mad money. Well, Webster's defines mad money as money set aside for personal use. I think I'd like to embellish that to mean money you can afford to lose. I think that's where Kramer's coming from when he titled his show Mad Money. Of course, his show is an inspiration for this show. The second part of the Mad Money Machine is the money machine part. And a machine performs its task without emotion, efficiently and productively, and that's the way we want our investments to run, like a machine. I'm sure everyone listening has either seen or used an ATM, an automatic teller machine, and that's what this show hopes to be for you, a money machine for the stock market. Question two, what is this show about? Well, I've been trying to answer that. It's about making money. It's about investing money. It's about trying to beat the indexes. It's trying to look at what Kramer's been saying on his TV show, his radio show, his website, his book, his magazine column. If we were to follow what he says, then can we make some money? Let's just find out. Question three. Have you ever met Jim Cramer? Yes, and I have proof. And I may talk about it in an upcoming podcast, so stay subscribed. So, coming up after the next segment, we'll have the Mad Money Roundup, where we look at Jim Cramer's picks. But it's time now for Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel, roll the marble. For the name that comes up, I'll give you a little background on that guru's investment philosophy and pick a stock that matches it. So here we go. Okay, well, in pole position and starting on our first Mad Money Machine show, the winner this week, the investment guru, is Jeremy Siegel. Jeremy Siegel is the author of a couple of very important books in investing. First one came out a few years back called Stocks for the Long Run. And has one that came out, I think, within the last year called The Future for Investors. His Stocks for the Long Run book was so influential that I suppose The Future for Investors is effectively its sequel. The Stocks for the Long Run book itself makes the case for, of course, stocks as opposed to really any other investment. And The Future for Investors book, I think, is important because he has put an emphasis on dividend-paying stocks and also and a big emphasis on international stocks. In fact, he points out a really interesting part of the book is the coming age wave and how in the United States the baby boomers will all retire and cash in their stocks, and nobody's left behind us in America to buy the stocks that we want to sell when we retire. So he says that the solution that we've got to achieve there is the global solution, and that's where the new economies around the world, China and India in particular, have enough population in the right demographic to be able to buy the stocks of American companies or companies that we want to sell when we come to selling time. So it's a really interesting thesis. Now, as far as what he would invest in, I actually think that he would recommend a basket of funds. And He talks about exchange-traded funds and how they are a good way to invest. In particular, he recommends the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. The ticker symbol on that is VTI. He says that it's you really shouldn't just pick the S&P 500 index because they're all already overpriced before they get added to the index. So even an even better pick may be to supplement the VTI with something like Vanguard's mid-cap fund and the small-cap fund, the VB. VO is the mid-cap, VB is the small-cap. And I guess I got to cheat here a little bit and say that he'd also want you in international stocks in a fairly significant way. And some picks there I think Jeremy would have for you would include the other Vanguard ETFs here. And I say Vanguard because they're the very low-cost exchange-traded fund. I don't have any ties to Vanguard. VGK being the European exchange-traded fund. VPL, the Vanguard Pacific Exchange-Traded Fund, and VWO, the Vanguard Emerging Markets Funds. These are six exchange-traded funds, which if you owned these funds in your portfolio, you would have a very broad diversification across stock markets, across the world, across sectors, across capitalizations. You'd basically own stocks around the globe. In fact, what I'm going to do for our 2006 portfolio is to construct a basket of these six index funds, weight them about 10% each, except for the put a little bit more in the VTI, and then we'll see if we can outperform this basket, because it sure is easy just to buy the basket and let it ride. It's got to be worth our time, our homework, our attention to achieve a significant outperformance, I would think, of these index funds. So I will post these up to the website, madmoneymachine.com, and we will assume that we will purchase these at the December 31st closing price, if that makes sense to you. Or should it be the January 2nd or 3rd opening price? I don't know. I'd love to have a page that gives the updated price. I'm not sure how I can implement it yet, but if you know of a PHP script or something that I can use to automatically update stock prices on a page, then send me an email, feedback@madmoneymachine.com. So we have our first guru. I'll post his name on the website along with links to his books, and I'll take his name off the roulette wheel and replace it with some other investment guru, and we'll see who comes up on the next Mad Money Machine show. Okay, now it's time for Mad Money Review. Hold on just a second. Let me throw this chair. Okay. Well, whether or not you watch Kramer's Mad Money, you can subscribe to this show because I'm going to review some of his recommendations and also help you to do some of the homework. I won't, you know, he talks about buy and homework as opposed to buy and hold. So I'll help you do the homework part. I won't help you do the buying part. I'll leave that up to you. I remember when I first watched his show. This goes back to March 14th of this year. And I thought, man, this thing goes on for a whole hour just talking about stocks. But I have been watching it ever since then. I have never missed an episode. Thank you, DVR. And I have to admit it, that when it comes to the end, I find myself asking, man, is that it? Well, I guess I'm a little bit addicted. And I think if you find yourself in the same position, if you're a mad money addict, then I'm here to help. Hopefully we can band together and try to feed off each other, learn more about how to pick stocks, how to beat the indexes. Part of what I'll be doing on this podcast is to review his picks and his performance. You didn't have to watch his show before you listen to this one. but I suspect many of you did. If you didn't, I'll help you get caught up. So, what I have done is I have constructed a portfolio, two portfolios. One is just a set of index funds. The other one is a set of funds that follow Cramer's discretionary stock portfolio. I don't know if you saw the show back in July, early July. He had a show that talked about his recommended discretionary stock portfolio. And I'll get into that in just a second. Let me talk about the basket of ETF stocks that I have created to make it easy. It's just a set of broad-based ETFs, exchange-traded funds. I've picked the Vanguard funds because they're the basically the least expensive. What I've done is actually, through the magic of editing, is the Jeremy Siegel basket that we defined earlier took a modified version of that collection of stocks as our index basket. So here's what we're going to pick. We're going to pick 20% in the VTI, that's the basic total stock market exchange traded fund. And then we're going to put 10% in all the rest of these. The VO, that's the mid cap, VB, small cap. And then we're going to put one in a micro cap fund. This is not a Vanguard. It's PZI, Power Shares Micro Cap. 10% into a REIT, VNQ. 10% into the materials fund, VAW. 10% into the Euro market, European market, VGK. 10% into the Pacific, VPL. And what's left? 10% into emerging markets, VWO. That's 100%. Let's just assume we're going to put $10,000 in each one except for the VTI, $20,000 there for a total of $100,000 invested. Total amount to purchase these is about $72. If you're on the lowest discount brokerage, about $8. So basically bought each one of those exchange-traded funds on the September 30th closing price. Now on to the fun stuff. Cramer's portfolio. Back in July, early July of this year, he talked about on his show, Mad Money, a discretionary stock portfolio and how it could be made up of 10 different sectors of stocks, 10 types of stocks. I'll go through these first. Number 10 was a non-tech hope stock, almost a speculative stock. Number 9 was a retailer. Number 8, a technology company. Number 7, a cyclical stock. Number 6, a secular stock or soft goods stock. Number 5, speculative stocks. He always talks about he's not afraid of a little speculation. Number 4, financial company. Number 3, a brand name blue chip. Number 2, an oil. And number 1, a company that you know. Well, for the methodology that I have used to construct his portfolio that we're kind of backtesting here, basically I picked stocks he recommended on his show between the 23rd of August and the 29th of September. I looked back through my notes of all that he's recommended on those shows, and then I put them in each category and gave them weightings and bought them, pretend. You can look on my website for the exact methodology I used for the performance testing of this. So starting August 23rd, I watched his show, took notes, chose some stocks that he was excited about. I took that whole list. It ended up there were about 34 stocks that I have applied to each of these 10 discretionary portfolio categories. And I assumed a 10% weighting for each category. If there was more than one stock in a category, I spread the investment across each stock equally within that category. For example, in oil, there were 7 stocks. So each stock was 1.4% of that segment of the portfolio. What were some of the names then in these various categories? At number 10, the non-tech Hope. The two ones that stood out at the time were Sonic, the drive-in that he was excited about, their burgers and shakes, and Martha Stewart OmniMedia. I think she was just coming out of jail at the time. So $5,000 in each one of those. Number 9, the retailer. He loves three at the time, especially, and there may be others, GameStop, Whole Foods, and Sears Holdings. So a third in each there, $3,333 for each one of those. A tech stock, Conexant, PowerWave, AMT, RSVN, and Google. That's RVSN. That's RadVision. And if you don't remember RadVision, they are designer, developer, and supplier of products and technology that enable real-time voice, video, and data communication over packet networks, including the internet and other internet protocol networks. So each of those gets $2,000. Number 7 is the cyclicals. Here we have Caterpillar, NL, which is NL Industries. And they're engaged in the component products, precision ball bearing security products, and other ergonomic computer support systems. And also chemicals. He talked about the titanium dioxide and how that business was hot. WY, Weyerhaeuser, and PEC, Pike Electric Corp. Four in that category, $2,500 each. Number 6, secular soft goods. Here we've going with Fortune Brands and General Mills. Two stocks in the secular soft goods, rather, category number 6, $5,000 each for one of those. And category 5, speculative stocks, China Medical and Leapfrog. Remember Leapfrog? $5,000 for each of those. Category 4, financial. I love this one. I chose ones that he was very excited about at the time. Banco Bradesco and Bancolombia. Also chose a REIT there. He's very excited about the St. Joe company. So we're going to put the $3,333 in each one of those number 4 stocks. And by the way, why am I choosing so many stocks in this portfolio? Well, it's because it's a back-tested portfolio. I mean, I could cherry-pick all of his winners, or I could cherry-pick all his losers and make it skewed one way or the other, looking backwards. So I just want to pick a broad swath of them to try to get an average of how we would do. Going forward, what we're going to do later is pick a portfolio into the future, so we don't know what's going to happen yet. Try to pick one or two stocks for each one of these sectors. Category number 3, is the brand name Blue Chips, Cendant, and Altria, Philip Morris, $5,000 each. And the big category, oil. I'll just read the ticker symbols, FTI, BTU, TOT, HAL, ECA, and XTO. 1.4% in each one of those works out to be $1,429. And the last category is a kind of a catch-all. It's a company you know. I picked 5 here. Rio Tinto, RTP, Amgen, Psychiatric Solutions, PSYS, Cineron, ELOS, and AAUK, the gold play. Anglo-American Depository Receipts. So each one of those category number 1s get $2,000 per stock. Now our total then, $100,000. So let's get right to it. What's the bottom line? How did we do? How did Cramer do? How did we make money in his basket of stocks? Let's look at the ETF, the diversified ETF first. We put $100,000 in as of 16 December for last Friday. The $100,000 in the ETF basket came to $103,714, which is 3.7%, obviously. How'd we do with the Cramer basket? Not too bad, really. But surprising. $100,000 invested in that basket of stocks that we talked about, a lot of good names in there, would have been worth, as of December 16th, the closing price, $103,949. That's 3.9%. You have to remember, though, that the ETF basket cost us $72 to buy all those stocks in commissions. For the Cramer basket, it cost $280. So we're basically even. We're basically the same thing, which is kind of an interesting result. Now, these include, his picks include some real winners. ChinaMed, right at the top, up 52.9% since the pick, is an astonishing. You would have thought Google would have been great. Google was great, 35.9%. Another good one, great one, Conexant, 32.4%. RadVision, 17.9%, and I forgot Bank of Bradesco, up 23.4%. And there were some real stinkers in the pick as well. Encana down 19.4%. Cendant down 18.4%. Leapfrog down 16.9%. Pike Electric was down 7.8%. NL, the titanium dioxide, down 22.9%. So some great ones, some stinkers, and of course some the other ones all kind of clustered in the middle. And I got to thinking, well, what if we just somehow sold the losers and kept the winners? What if we put in a stop loss order that's say 7% or 10% down, so we sold those stocks and just let the winners run? Oh man, that did not work at all, because you know what happened in October? A lot of stocks went down from the buy point, and it would have actually triggered the stop loss order. I mean, stop loss being a price that you preset to put it to sell the stock. So for example, you buy AAUK, which ended up by 11%, but if you would have put a stop loss order in at 10% lower than your purchase price, it would have in fact stopped out. So you would have got out too early. The bottom line of trying that approach would have been you lost 0.7%. You lost about $700. So I will post these results to the website for your perusal and see what you think about them. Coming up later, we'll pick our portfolio for 2006. But right now, it's time for Tools in the Crib. This is a segment where I give you a website or some software, a book, a TV show, a newspaper column, or something that you should have in your investment tool crib. Well, this time, I'm going to give you a simple one. It's the Microsoft Excel Stock Plugin. You can get the link to this from my website, or you can simply Google it from Excel Stock Quotes and go out to the Microsoft website, and you'll find a free download of software you can plug into Microsoft Excel spreadsheet that gives you the ability to point to a stock symbol, and it will automatically go out to the web to connect to the MSN website and just simply pull back the price, the last traded price for that stock. Or you can choose other parameters about the stock, the 52-week high, the P.E. ratio, other things. It's a wonderful tool. It helped me in constructing the two portfolios that I talked about earlier. So the Excel MSN Stock Plugin is this week's Tools in the Crib. Coming up now, the Pumping for Profits segment. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the portfolio that we're going to construct for next year. We're going to buy these stocks at the end of the year and then see how well we can do by beating the indexes. Pumping for profits is where we drill down and do some investing homework. Remember, Cramer says it's not buy and hold, but buy and homework. This time, I'm going to start constructing our portfolio for 2006. We're going to pick some stocks. We're going to keep track of them for the next year. I'm going to construct two portfolios. The first one will be the same basket of ETFs that I just talked about earlier. And then the interesting portfolio will be gathered from those stocks that Cramer has been most enthusiastic about. And unlike buy and hold strategies, this will be a buy and homework portfolio. So we'll have to do some selling, or we may have to do some selling throughout the year and replace those stocks with new picks as Cramer tells us what is hot and what is not. We'll use his guideline for a discretionary stock portfolio to help us pick the stocks from different market sectors. And so just going back through those 10 again, starting with number 10, the non-tech hope, I'm going to pick for the portfolio ALJ. This is the Israeli company that has an energy company with lots of toys stuffed inside it, including it used to own 7-Elevens, might still do, but it has an asphalt business, a terrific one, Cramer says. He also says ring the register if it gets to 26. So number 9 is the retailer. Going to stick with GameStop on this one. I think they've been down recently. And, boy, next year could be the year for video games, with Xboxes finally being produced and the Sony PlayStation coming out next Christmas. Could be really good. Number 8, the tech stocks. I don't know whether I would choose Google or Yahoo, so I'll choose them both. I'll just split tech right down the middle between Google and Yahoo. Number 7 is the cyclicals, the smokestacks. Now, Cramer is just now doing his segments on the Dirty Dozen. I'll choose CMI, that's Cummins, because of the BRIC exposure. BRIC being the acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, and China. Cummins has a lot of contracts to those areas. Number 6, the secular or soft goods. He just talked about Sara Lee and how it's could be an interesting turnaround. It's getting rid of its apparel and other non-related stuff. So let's do that. Let's go with Sara Lee. Number 5, a speculative, is Cynosure, which makes the lasers that are modular. Number 4, I'm going to stay with strength here in the financials, Banco Bradesco and Bancolombia. Number 3 is the brand name Blue Chip, and boy, Philip Morris has been hot. Altria has been hot, even after some big gains. I think we're going to stay with this one. We may change this depending on what happens later in the month of December. And number 2, the oil. He likes Neighbors of Arabia, so let's go with NBR. The last one, number 1, a company you know. Well, you'll have to wait and see next week because I don't have one picked there yet for the 2006 portfolio. Next week or next time, whenever the next show comes out. So that will be our start portfolio for the Cramer portfolio. We're going to track throughout 2006. I'll keep the results going regularly up on the website. Keep checking back there. Keep checking out this show, and we'll talk about how we're doing. Maybe we'll make some changes along the way. Maybe you'll make some recommendations for how we should change things up. I think one of the general rules is we'll pick stocks that Cramer's really excited about. And see if we would beat the indexes. Well, I expect this Mad Money Machine show could have a pretty broad audience, ranging from Cramer himself all the way down to little kids. So I want to put some stuff in for those who are new to stocks and investing. And I'll place this beginner level material at the end of each show so the experts can either grab a kid or a new person, new investor, and have them listen to this last part. Or the experts can just skip and go to the next show on their iPod. So for the experts, that's it for you. Please subscribe to this podcast feed to get more Mad Money Roundup of Jim Cramer's stock picks, to get another spin of the Guru Roulette Wheel, to get more Pumping for Profits ideas, and to get another tool from the Tool Crib. Don't forget to read the website at madmoneymachine.com, and please send your questions, comments, complaints, and criticisms to feedback@madmoneymachine.com. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. For those of you still with me, this is the new money segment where I get down to basics and get you caught up on the genuine Wall Street gibberish. This segment's appropriate for anyone from kids to senior citizens who've never invested for themselves, or maybe you've invested but you still don't understand all the concepts. So if you're a kid or you have one nearby, this segment is especially good for you. We gotta get the little ones investing early, right? Or else who's going to buy our stock when we want to retire? Since this is the first show, let's start out with the fundamentals. What is a stock? Might want to gather up your, if you're driving to work, commuting with your kids, play this on the radio and you can talk about it afterwards. What is a stock? Owning one stock means you own part of a company, usually a very, very small part of a company. A company is a business that makes something or does something to get money. Money is what you use to buy things, especially from companies. Now, examples of some companies that you may know about are McDonald's, who make the hamburgers and the Happy Meals, right? Disney, with the movies and the Disney World theme parks. Another company, Walmart, the big store that you may shop at. There's gasoline stations that are companies like Exxon. And there's Apple Computer Company, the company that makes the iPod that you might be using right now. There are lots of companies that have stock that you can buy. In fact, there are over 9,000 different companies that let you buy their stock. Companies that let you be one of their owners. Having one stock is called owning a share of stock. Back in the olden days, you used to actually get a piece of paper called a stock certificate that may have had fancy pictures on it along with the number of shares in the company that you owned. Today, we usually don't get the piece of paper. We let a special stock trading company called a broker keep track of the stock that we own. We tell our broker when we want to buy or sell shares of stock. The broker then makes a trade of that stock in the stock market. The market is where buyers and sellers gather to trade shares of stock for money. You can buy just one share of stock, or you can buy more shares. If you buy more shares of stock in a company, it means you own more of that company. Don't you think it would be great if you could be the owner of McDonald's or Disney or Walmart? Well, in a way, you can be an owner by buying stock in these companies. Remember, though, that these companies divide up their ownership stock into millions or billions, billions with a B, of shares of stock. And usually no single person really owns the whole company if it's publicly traded. If you buy one share of Disney, for example, you have one share out of 1.9 billion other shares. Why would you want to buy shares of stock in a company and be an owner? The simple answer is to help make the money you save turn into even more money. If you're one of the owners of a company, then the people who are working for that company are working to make money for you. When a company sells something, a product like a hamburger or like tickets to a movie, the company collects money called revenue. Again, revenue is the amount of money a company collects when they sell a product or do work for someone. Costs and expenses, though, are the money a company has to pay in order to make their product or do their work. It costs a company money to buy the meat, the bread and pickles and ketchup to make a hamburger. It costs a company money to get people, their employees, to do their work, to make the hamburgers. but the company sells the hamburger to someone else for even more money than it costs to make the hamburger. The money a company makes after collecting revenues and subtracting their costs, the money that's left over, the final amount of money a company makes, is called earnings or profits. These earnings or these profits are the real money a company makes for you. When you own a company, when you own shares of stock, you own a mad money machine. Well, that's it for this time. Lots more coming up in the next show. Stay subscribed to the Mad Money Machine. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Street.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on the show. Although the information discussed on the program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of the program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.